Welcome to the Divergent Files podcast. The CIA classified a book that predicted the next extinction event, then redacted it, buried it, and never talked about it again. It said mile-high tsunamis, instant freezing cities, civilization wiped clean like a chalkboard. And the scariest part? It didn't say if, it said when. And it said, we're overdue. You ever hear of the Adam and Eve story? It's not about religion. It's about the earth resetting itself, violently and on a schedule. It describes pole shifts so fast the oceans leave their basins. Cities snap off the crust. Whole continents drown in hours. And the CIA locked it up tighter than a UFO crash report. When they finally declassified it, 57 pages were missing. Why? What did they cut? And why are scientists today sounding the same alarms from NASA to NOAA to the guys monitoring the South Atlantic anomaly? Something is off, and tonight we're pulling back the curtain on what might be the most important cover-up you've never heard of. Okay, so I wasn't even looking for this. I was researching magnetic anomalies for a totally different episode when I stumbled across this weird, half-redacted PDF buried in a CIA archive. The title? The Adam and Eve Story. I thought it was a religious thing, but it's not. It's a government-classified book about the end of the world. Not asteroids and nukes end of the world. I mean crust ripping open, oceans leaving their basins, an entire continent sliding into the sea. And according to the guy who wrote it, Chan Thomas, this isn't a theory. It's a cycle, one we're overdue for. The CIA got their hands on this manuscript in the 60s. Then they classified it, chopped out over 50 pages, and didn't say a word for decades. Which raises a question I can't shake. If it's just a fringe theory, why did they lock it up? And why, right now, are scientists sounding the alarm about Earth's magnetic field acting strange, the poles drifting faster, and the planet's protective shield getting weaker by the year? I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to sell you anything. But what I found digging into this book, and what might have been hidden in the parts the CIA redacted, it's enough to make you look at history, and maybe even the future, a little differently. Let's get into it. So before we talk about Earth flipping over like a pancake, we need to talk about the guy who wrote the recipe. His name was Chan Thomas, and right off the bat, I'll be honest, nobody can agree on who this guy really was. Some say he was a crank, others say he was brilliant, and a few suspect he may have been something else entirely. What we do know is this: in the 1960s, Chan Thomas published a book called The Adam and Eve Story. At first glance, it reads like apocalyptic science fiction. Except, he wasn't trying to write a novel. He claimed it was real, that Earth has undergone sudden, violent, crustal shifts that wipe out civilization on a predictable cycle. And he believed the next one was coming soon. That would be wild enough on its own. But then something stranger happened. The CIA classified the book. It vanished into government archives. It had stayed hidden for over 50 years. When it was finally declassified and uploaded to the CIA's CREST database in 2013, what emerged was a shell, a 57-page version that cut out most of the science, all of the catastrophe timelines, and entire chapters that some researchers claim are referenced in original printings. So why would the CIA go through the trouble of censoring a doomsday book unless it hit a little too close to something real? But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Who was Chan Thomas? Here's where things get murky. His background is hard to pin down. From what we've pieced together, He graduated from Dartmouth College. He claimed to have worked in aerospace, even consulted for companies like McDonnell Douglas and aerospace branches of IBM. He reportedly worked on early remote viewing and psychic studies tied to defense contractors. Yes, that kind of research. He also dabbled in metaphysics, telekinesis, the resurrection of Jesus, and claimed to invent a device that could reverse entropy in human cells. So yeah, either the guy was operating on a different frequency, or he was neck deep in some weird Pentagon level stuff. There are whispers, and I do mean whispers, that he was part of an early Intel adjacent science fringe. The kind of guy who may not have had a formal CIA badge, but whose work occasionally slipped into black budget radar. That's not confirmed, but the sudden classification of his book lines up with how the government handles dangerous adjacent material. They don't just bury it, they scrub it and salt the earth. Let's talk publication history. The first edition of the Adam and Eve story was published in the early 1960s through Emerson House, a small press out of Los Angeles. It didn't make waves, but those who did read it were disturbed. A longer version was reportedly circulated among academic and defense circles, which included technical drawings, specific dates for past catastrophes, and magnetic field data that wasn't public knowledge at the time. Then it disappears. Reemerges in 2013 on CIA.gov, only now it's slim, redacted document with no explanation for the edits. Compare the public version to the privately circulated one, and what's missing is everything that would make you panic. No ancient timeline cycles, no deep dive into what pole shifts would do to the oceans or crust, no predictions, no map of how society might collapse. It's like they left just enough in to dismiss it as woo, but removed just enough to keep the good stuff for themselves. And this is where things get really strange, because once the book was back online, even in its neutered form, a wave of new scientific data started to emerge, suggesting that Earth's magnetic field is weakening, the poles are drifting, and sudden shifts have happened in the past. So now we're left with a guy who may or may not have had intelligence ties, who published a book predicting global crustal disasters, that got classified, then partially released just as new data began to match his warnings. Coincidence? Could be, but we don't believe in that here in this channel. But if we're being honest, this whole thing smells like a managed leak. Let the public see just enough to think it's a myth. Keep the rest for the people building bunkers in West Virginia. You ever read something and you can't unsee it? Because buried inside the Adam and Eve story is a passage that doesn't just explain the theory, it plays it out moment by moment. Not from space, not from science class, from the ground, from inside the end of the world. This is what Chan Thomas says it looks like when the Earth resets. It starts with a low vibration, not a sound, not yet. Just pressure, like the bones inside your skull are humming. Birds vanish, dogs whimper. Then a crack, not in the sky, in the ground beneath your feet. The crust shifts, not an inch, miles. Entire plates slam sideways in seconds. Mountains unroll like carpets. Valleys explode upward, and then you hear it. A roar so loud it punches the air out of your lungs. But you're already falling. The sky splits open. The wind doesn't build. It arrives. A wall of air screaming at over 1,000 miles per hour. Tears through cities like they're made of paper. It's not wind. It's an atmosphere in free fall. Detached from land that just stopped spinning. You didn't know the Earth moved at 1,000 miles per hour. You're about to find out what happens when it doesn't. Skyscrapers shatter. Bridges rip loose. Glass becomes shrapnel. Then, behind the wind, the ocean comes. A wall of water 2 miles high, risen from the Pacific, moving east. It doesn't crash, it devours. Los Angeles, gone in minutes. San Francisco, gone in seconds. The water doesn't stop, it rose across the continents, taking everything, cars, trees, people, buildings, cities, everything you've ever known. And you're not dead, not yet, because fire comes next. Beneath the fractured crust, magma boils upward through the cracks. Lava floods the plains. The sky churns black. Ash rains sideways in 100-mile-per-hour gusts. The ground quakes again, then stops, then flips. The poles have moved. The new equator is somewhere else now. Maybe it's Greenland. Maybe it's Antarctica. Wherever you are, the sun just froze in place. One half of the planet is now locked in endless day, the other eternal night. Temperatures drop 180 degrees. Even the tropics freeze solid. Anything left alive, man, animal, plant, is flash frozen where it stands, eyes wide open, mid-scream, encased in ice and mud for the next 7,000 years. That's if you're lucky, because the unlucky ones survive. They crawl out of caves, out of crevices, out of mountaintop ruins. They don't know who they are. They don't speak the same language. Their history is gone. Their gods are dead. And all they know is that something unthinkable happened, and no one believes them. A few of them start carving stories into stone, about fire, about water, about a time when the sky screamed and the earth went sideways. And thousands of years later, we'll call those stories myths. So yeah, Chan Thomas wasn't subtle. This wasn't metaphor. This was a warning. The question is, how close is it to the truth? Okay, so let's talk about the book itself, because even in its redacted form, it's chilling. Chan Thomas called it the Adam and Eve story. And right out of the gate, the title misleads you. This isn't a religious text. It's not about the biblical Garden of Eden or original sin. It's a scientific hypothesis about planetary catastrophe, specifically the idea that the Earth doesn't just evolve, it resets, violently and regularly. Thomas believed the Earth undergoes cataclysmic crustal displacement where the outer shell of the planet, the crust we live on, slips over the molten core almost like loose skin rotating on a ball. Not gradually, not over millennia, instantly. He described it as a 90-degree flip in less than a day. According to him, the Earth literally shifts sideways. The poles become the equator. Oceans surge out of their beds. Mountain ranges crumble. Civilization wiped out in hours. That's not metaphor. That's how he opens the book. And to make it even more insane, the foreword to the longer version, the one reportedly circulated before the CIA redacted it, is attributed to Albert Einstein. Now let's pause there. There's a long-standing claim that Einstein supported some version of crustal displacement theory, particularly the version proposed by Professor Charles Hapgood. Hapgood was a respected geologist who believed that sudden shifts in Earth's crust could account for radical changes in climate and geography. And Einstein did, in fact, write the foreword to Hapgood's 1958 book called The Earth's Shifting Crust. That's real. That's confirmed. So whether Einstein actually wrote the foreword to Thomas's book, or Thomas was building off of Einstein's endorsement of the idea, either way, this theory wasn't born in tinfoil hat. It started in a lecture hall. So what does Thomas say actually happens during a crustal displacement? Well, here's the nightmare. Supersonic winds scour the Earth's surface as the atmosphere lags behind the suddenly moving crust. Oceans slosh out of their basins, rising into mile-high tsunamis that smash continents apart. Friction and magnetic chaos ignite earthquakes and volcanic eruptions worldwide. Cities crumble, mountains flatten, and regions near the equator are suddenly instantly frozen as they snap into polar position. Think of Los Angeles suddenly lying where the South Pole used to be. The Pacific rearing up and dumping itself into Nevada, all in less than 24 hours. Thomas describes survivors, if there are any, as emerging into a new world. No power, no history, no shared language, just chaos. And this is where his theory gets even weirder and more terrifying. Because he doesn't say this happened once. He says it's happened dozens of times. According to Thomas, we are not the first advanced civilization to rise and fall on this planet. We are, in fact, the sixth, maybe even the seventh or more. Each one, Atlantis, Mu, Lemuria, even biblical flood civilizations like Noah's world, weren't myths. They were iterations. Advanced societies, technological, global, maybe even intercontinental, all destroyed by the same reset button. He doesn't just believe the flood myths are real, he believes they're echoes, half-remembered trauma passed down as stories by the handful of people who survived the last time the planet hit the kill switch. He mentions the continent of Mu, described in both Indian and Mayan texts, a vast landmass in the Pacific that allegedly sank beneath the ocean during a sudden event. He brings up Atlantis, tying Plato's story to geological evidence of sudden sea level rise. He even references Noah's flood, arguing it wasn't divine judgment, it was just another chapter in Earth's brutal pattern of erasure and rebirth. And here's the kicker. Thomas says these resets happen on a schedule. Roughly every 6,500 to 7,000 years, Earth experiences a magnetic or crustal upheaval so extreme it destroys civilization and forces humanity to start over. Not because of war, not because of disease, but because Earth, the planet itself, has a built-in reset mechanism. And if he's right, we're not just overdue, we're right on the edge of the next cycle. What's especially eerie is how modern geological and magnetospheric data has begun to echo some of his claims. The poles are drifting. The magnetic field is weakening. The South Atlantic anomaly, a region where the field has thinned dramatically, is expanding. And some mainstream geophysicists are warning that we may be entering the early phase of a full magnetic reversal. But no one talks about what happens if the crust moves with the field. That's the part Thomas focused on. That's the part the CIA redacted. So now we're left with the skeleton of a book, written by a guy with strange ties to aerospace and metaphysics, based on a theory Einstein once supported, describing an extinction pattern that modern science is inching closer to confirming, that got buried in a CIA vault for half a century. If that doesn't raise questions, I don't know what does. Here's where we slow it down just long enough to ask, is any of this actually possible? Let's separate the disaster movie from the geology. First, we need to get clear on two different things. A geomagnetic reversal is when Earth's magnetic poles, north and south, literally switch places. A crustal displacement, on the other hand, is when the entire outer shell of the planet slides over its molten core like a loose jacket. Now, scientists agree that magnetic reversals do happen, but crustal displacement? That's where the fight starts. Let's start with what's confirmed. Every time lava erupts and hardens, it locks in the orientation of Earth's magnetic field like a cosmic compass needle frozen in time. Geologists have found layer after layer of rock that show our poles have flipped dozens of times across millions of years. It's called paleomagnetism, and it's real. The last time it happened was about 780,000 years ago. Statistically, we're overdue. But here's where things get weird. Because over the past century, Earth's magnetic field has been weakening, and it's not subtle. In the 1800s, the North Pole was drifting about 9 meters per year. Today, it's moving at nearly 40 meters per year towards Siberia. And the field itself, our invisible shield that blocks solar radiation and cosmic death rays, it's lost over 10% of its strength in just the past 150 years. Think of it like Earth's immune system starting to fail, slowly and then all at once. And then there's the South Atlantic anomaly, a weird invisible dent in our magnetic field, stretching across Brazil and the South Atlantic, where radiation from space gets way too close to Earth's surface. Satellites that fly over it glitch, crash, or go completely dark. Astronauts on the ISS, they try to avoid that stretch of orbit altogether. No one fully understands it, but it's growing. Some scientists believe it's the first visible scar of a pole shift already in progress. But remember, when a magnetic pole flips, it's not like a light switch. It's messy, chaotic. The field weakens, wanders, splinters into multiple poles. Imagine compasses pointing in 3 different directions at once, or worse, not at all. And during that time, we lose the shield that protects our satellites, our power grid, our internet, and basically everything modern society relies on. It's not fire and brimstone, it's slow collapse, planes rerouting, GPS going haywire, massive radiation storms from the sun frying communication systems mid-orbit. Maybe even another Carrington event, only this time we're not using telegraphs. So the question is, does the science support what Chan Thomas wrote? The answer, sort of, but not the way you think. Most mainstream geophysicists do agree that magnetic reversals have happened and will happen again. They do acknowledge the South Atlantic anomaly, the field weakening, the pole drift. But what they don't agree on or don't talk about is whether the crust can move with it. That's where Thomas pushed things further than most scientists are willing to go. He didn't just say the field flips. He said the field flips and it drags the land with it. And here's where you have to ask, why does no one want to touch that idea? Because if he's wrong, no big deal, fringe theory. But if he's right, then all these signs we're seeing, the anomaly, the drift, the weakening field, they're not just noise, they're a countdown. And here's the uncomfortable part. Even NASA's own data doesn't rule it out. They just don't talk about it, because no one wants to go on record saying the continents might slip sideways and kill 90% of the planet. But the data's out there. It's just waiting for someone to look. So we did. If everything we've talked about so far sounds like fringe panic, then why has the US government been building bunkers for decades? Not hypothetical bunkers, not Cold War leftovers, real, operational, tax-funded fallout shelters designed to keep the right people alive while the rest of us burn. They have names, they have addresses, and they have seating charts. First, Mount Weather. Tucked inside the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, this is one of FEMA's best-known continuity of government sites. If Washington, D.C. is hit, this is where your senators and selected cabinet officials go. Not their families, just them. Mount Weather has its own police force, fire department, water supply, air filtration systems, and an underground city built to last through anything. Then there's Raven Rock, sometimes called the Underground Pentagon. This site near the Pennsylvania-Maryland border is basically NORAD East. 5 levels deep, hardened against nuclear strike. It has war rooms, dormitories, full intelligence integration. If you've ever seen the movie Dr. Strangelove, this is the real world version. Only, it doesn't end in satire. It ends with you outside the blast doors. Then there's Greenbrier. Once a luxury hotel in West Virginia, underneath it is a Cold War bunker designed to secretly house the entire US Congress. Rows of bunks, stockpiles of food, decontamination showers. Everything planned, everything ready, until a journalist exposed it in the 90s and it had to be retired. And these are just the ones we know about. There are more, dozens more, some declassified, some still buried in FOIA black ink, all tied to what's called continuity of government, or COG. Let's break that down. After World War II, and especially after the development of nuclear weapons, the US began designing systems not just to fight wars, but to survive after total collapse. Not survive as a people, not as a nation, but to preserve power, chain of command, control. The documents don't say save the population. They say preserve government function. You can read them. Presidential Directive 51. Executive Order 12656. Continuity plans filed with FEMA, the Department of Energy, even NASA. Some of them talk about grid down events. Others mention geomagnetic disturbances, communication blackouts, and mass migration scenarios. Nowhere does it say we're building these bunkers in case of a pole shift. But Chan Thomas sure thought they were. In the deeper sections of the Adam and Eve story, Thomas describes a world where only select individuals survive, chosen in advance, hidden away in shelters, brought only after the dust settles. He calls it selective survival, a concept that sounds absurd until you realize that's exactly how real COG protocols work. When the lockdown happens, there's a list. If your name isn't on it, you don't get in. So here's the uncomfortable question. If crustal displacement is just pseudoscience, if magnetic field collapse is just a fringe theory, why does the government have an entire infrastructure dedicated to surviving it? And more importantly, why aren't they telling the rest of us how to prepare? FEMA has public guides for floods, hurricanes, even bioterrorism, and nothing about what to do in the event of a magnetic field failure, global blackout, or large-scale pole drift. Not because they don't believe it could happen, but because the plans don't include us. Because this isn't survival for humanity, it's survival for them. If the Earth resets itself on a cycle, then there should be footprints, not just in geology, but in memory. Because if even a handful of people survived the last reset, they would have passed the story down, as myth, as warning, as whispered prophecy. And maybe that's exactly what they did. You can find them all over the world, legends of fire from the sky, of floods that swallowed entire continents, of golden ages that vanished overnight. The Sumerians wrote of a great deluge that wiped out all of humanity except the chosen few. The Hopi speak of not one, but four previous worlds, each destroyed by fire, ice, or flood. The Maya believed we are living in the fifth sun, the fifth attempt at civilization, and that the current world will end in catastrophe like the ones before. These aren't bedtime stories. These are trauma narratives passed down across millennia by survivors who watched the sky fall. And they all say the same thing. It happened before, it will happen again. But here's what most people miss. The Earth itself proves it. We talk about Pangaea like it was the only supercontinent, a one-time deal. But that's not how Earth works. Before Pangaea, there was Rodinia. Before Rodinia, Colombia. Before Colombia, Nuna, Kenorland, Ur. Supercontinents rise, split, drift, reform, and Earth is a reset machine. And every time it rebuilds, whatever came before gets buried under oceans, under mountains, under ice. So if you were looking for evidence of lost civilizations, you wouldn't find their cities. You'd find their bones locked in the crust beneath your feet. Now let's talk about Atlantis. Most people treat it like a metaphor, a morality tale Plato made up to warn about arrogance. But the timeline Plato gave, 9,000 years before his time, that's around 11,600 years ago, which just so happens to coincide with the real sudden climate shift called the Younger Dryas Impact Hypothesis, a period of abrupt global cooling, flooding, and mass extinction. What if Plato wasn't speculating? What if he was remembering? And Atlantis wasn't alone. The ancient continent of Mu, described in both Indian and Mayan records, supposedly stretched across the Pacific and vanished in a single event. Mainstream science scoffs at this, but the Yonaguni Monument off the coast of Japan tells a different story. Massive stone terraces, staircases, right angles carved into the seabed. Some say it's natural erosion. Others say it's the ruins of a city, one that was above water before the last ocean surge. And if that's true, then someone lived there, and they didn't just disappear, they were erased. Now let's talk Göbekli Tepe, an ancient stone complex in Turkey, deliberately buried in the earth. It predates every known civilization by thousands of years. Monolithic pillars, complex carvings, zodiac alignments. It wasn't built by hunter-gatherers. It was built by survivors, people who knew something unthinkable had happened and tried to preserve knowledge before it was lost again. That's not a temple. That's a time capsule. Same goes for Nan Madol, a city of basalt columns in Micronesia, built on a coral reef. Massive structures with no known quarry nearby, no written language, and no record of who built it or why. The locals say it was built by giants or spirits, but maybe it was built by people running out of time. These aren't isolated cases. From Easter Island to the Sahara's lost rivers to the sunken ruins off Cuba and India, we keep finding evidence of worlds that don't fit the timeline. Civilizations that weren't supposed to exist, but clearly did, until something wiped the slate clean. And every time we ask what happened, the answers are either missing or classified. So maybe Chan Thomas wasn't speculating. Maybe he was just listening. Listening to the rocks. Listening to the stories we're told not to take seriously. Listening to the planet as it breathes in again. Because if Earth resets on a cycle, then we're not at the beginning. We're not in the middle. We're at the end of the story, right before it starts all over again. So here's what's been eating at me. The CIA didn't just read the Adam and Eve story. They didn't just file it away and forget it. They classified it. They redacted it. And then, decades later, they quietly put a butchered version online, just enough to look harmless. Why? Now, maybe it was nothing. Maybe someone at Langley just overreacted in the 60s. But if you start looking into what else the CIA was poking around in during that era, the picture gets weirdly familiar. Because around the same time Chan Thomas was writing about Earth, resets, and magnetic catastrophes, the CIA was funding research into psychic phenomena, time perception, geophysical anomalies, and, this is real, temporal modeling. That's not speculation. That's in the archives. They launched programs like Project Stargate exploring remote viewing, precognition, and the use of human consciousness to perceive distant or future events. MKOffen and MKUltra testing the limits of the mind under extreme duress, including how it perceives time, fear, and existential events. And possibly most relevant here, the rumored Operation Looking Glass, an alleged program exploring timeline modeling and future event prediction using exotic physics. That last one? Still officially denied, but a whole lot of people inside government have slipped up trying not to talk about it. So now pause for a second. Why would a spy agency care about poshiths? Or consciousness interacting with planetary cycles? Or forecasting Earth system failures? Because if you knew, or even suspected, that something like what Chan Thomas described could be real, you'd want to know when it happens, what it looks like, and who needs to survive it. And here's where it loops back to the Adam and Eve story. When the CIA finally declassified it in 2013, 57 pages were missing, gone. No comment, no data, just a PDF with the teeth pulled out. But people who'd seen earlier versions say those missing pages weren't fluff. They contained specific post-shift timelines, psychological impact breakdowns, theories about Earth's magnetic field interacting with human behavior, and even predictions of increased solar instability and magnetic drift, which, by the way, is exactly what NASA and the ESA started noticing right around the time that redacted version was uploaded. So ask yourself, why release it at all if it's nonsense? Why not just let it stay buried? Because half releasing it creates confusion. It undermines the theory while still checking the box. See? We're not hiding anything. It's just a weird book, they would say. That's not transparency. That's strategic ambiguity. A tactic the CIA has used for decades. Especially when something might be true, but confirming it would cause panic. Here's the bottom line. This wasn't a rogue scientist publishing a weird apocalypse theory. This was a guy who may have brushed up against something real and got his book folded into an invisible dossier about planetary threat modeling. Whether it's pole shifts, crustal displacement, or magnetic death spiral, somebody was watching. And while the rest of us were being told nothing to see here, someone else was quietly preparing for impact. So here's the part that doesn't feel like a theory anymore. Here's where it starts to feel current. Because up until now, the Adam and Eve story has been just that, a story. A warning about past resets. A speculation about cycles. A weird old book the CIA tried to disappear. But what if the next cycle isn't coming? What if it's already started? Let's run the clock. Earth's magnetic field is weakening. That's not theory. That's measurement. In 1859, the field was 100% strength. Today, it's lost 10 to 15% and dropping faster every decade. The South Atlantic anomaly has expanded dramatically in just the last 20 years. The magnetic poles accelerating drift. In the 1900s, 9 meters a year. Today, over 40 meters per year and moving towards Siberia. NASA, ESA, and NOAA have all acknowledged this. They just don't know why. Or they do, and they're not telling us. So now pause, because if Chan Thomas was wrong, this is just interesting noise. But if he was right, then these aren't anomalies. They're symptoms. Early warning signs of a planetary shift already in motion. And it's not just the magnetic field. Satellite systems are glitching. GPS accuracy is degrading in polar regions. Radiation spikes are being logged on commercial flights. Auroras are showing up in places they were never meant to. And Earth's rotation speed, this one's wild, has started to fluctuate. In 2020, the Earth had its shortest day ever recorded. Since then, scientists have reported irregular spin patterns, milliseconds shaved off the 24-hour cycle. A wobble, a stutter, a signal. Even climate data is aligning with Chan Thomas's timelines, suggesting global instability spikes roughly every 6,500 to 7,000 years. And guess where we are in that cycle? Right on time. Now look, this could be all noise. Coincidence, climate, solar cycle fluctuation, 1,000 natural reasons, none of them apocalyptic. But why do the dots form a pattern? Why does that pattern match a book the CIA tried to bury? And why, now, is the data screaming louder than ever? What if the countdown isn't an event in the distant future, but a trigger point we've already passed? Because if you accept the idea that Earth resets itself on a cycle, then the field weakening, the crustal anomalies, the satellite interference, none of this is random. It's stage one. So the question isn't if it's going to happen, it's what happens next. At this point, we've seen the patterns, the classified book, the missing pages, the field data, the bunkers, and the silence. And there's one question left, hanging in the air, not in some philosophical, we are the world kind of way, but as a matter of national policy. Why would the government take this seriously enough to build shelters, fund programs, redact information, but never issue a public warning? The answer isn't poetic, it's strategic. You see, it's because you can't prepare 7 billion people for an extinction-level event. But you can prepare the ones who matter to you, the ones with clearance, with control, with utility. That's not paranoia, that's doctrine. It's baked into how continuity of government has always worked. Mount Weather, Raven Rock, the entire preservation of government system. It's not built to save society. It's built to save systems of control. And here's the real kicker. This isn't about saving knowledge either. If they wanted to preserve knowledge, they'd teach this stuff. They'd fund geological risk education. They'd prepare cities, update grids, distribute contingency guides. Instead, they fund deep earth excavation projects, quietly upgrade NORAD, and build private communication lines that can survive a planetary blackout. They aren't trying to prevent collapse. They're trying to control the reboot. Now let's come back to the Adam and Eve story. Because this isn't just a fringe theory. It's a case study in how information is weaponized. They took a book that described magnetic reversal, crustal displacement, civilization resets, historical cycles, and they didn't debunk it. They didn't publish a counterpaper. They didn't mock it on the nightly news. They locked it away. And when they finally released it, it was sanitized. The most disturbing chapters cut. Not because they didn't believe it, but because maybe they did. So why didn't they tell us? All right? Maybe because they believe awareness won't change the outcome. Maybe because panic is worse than quiet ignorance. Maybe because they think it's not our right to know. That some truths belong to the institutions that survive, not the populations that won't. That's not a conspiracy, that's design. Or maybe because, and this is the part that sticks, they know it's coming, but there isn't a damn thing they can do about it. If this story is even half true, then we're not just living in a fragile world. We're living on borrowed time. Not in some poetic way, but in a very real, very quiet sense that everything we've built sits on shifting ground, literally. And maybe that's always been true. Maybe deep down, we've always known this thing we call civilization was temporary. Not just because of war or politics or economics, but because Earth doesn't care what we've built. And maybe the people in charge figured that out a long time ago. Maybe they stopped trying to stop it. Maybe they just started planning for the part after. And the rest of us? We were left to live out the final pages of a book we didn't even know we were in. So what do you do with that kind of truth? What do you do when you realize the countdown might already be running? Not in fear, not in panic, but in acceptance. Maybe you stop waiting. Maybe you stop scrolling through noise. Maybe you stop arguing with strangers. Maybe you stop pretending you've got all the time in the world. Because if the Earth has a clock, and if this really is the last chapter of our cycle, then what matters now is whatever matters most. Hug your kids. Make peace with the people you've been holding at a distance. Forgive something that's been calcifying inside you. Walk outside and breathe in a sky that still spins above you. Not because we're doomed, but because we were never promised forever. And maybe knowing that is what makes right now matter more than ever. If this episode left you thinking, if it made you feel even a flicker of what if, that means it did its job. This channel isn't here to feed fear. It's here because some stories need to be told, even if no one listens, even if they're too late, because the truth matters. Sharing this information matters. If you believe in that, in truth before comfort, then take a second and subscribe. That tiny click helps more than you know. It keeps this work going. And if you want to go deeper, if you want to help us push farther into the dark and support these investigations directly, join us on patreon.com/divergentfiles. And you'll become part of something that doesn't rely on clicks or headlines to survive. Because out here, we don't chase stories. We dig them up, even the ones they tried to bury. So thank you for your time, for your curiosity, and for not looking away. Until next time, be safe, be grounded, and remember that you are truly appreciated.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.